name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Samaritan woman story is very touchy for any person that has soft heart towards people that are suffering. We read this story 3 times in the year in the church, once during the Lent, once during the 50 days, and a third time in the church also. The reason is that it's a very beloved incident and full of teaching, and many people love this story, and there's no end to the joy of listening to it many times. I can relate to this woman because of the difficulties that she is passing through and the need that she is in. So it is a message for any person that is in need or in difficulty or suffering. She was suffering a lot. Observe that in Christianity, and only Christianity as a religion, there's no other religion that does that, there's something in particular for the people to have one-to-one relationship with Christ. A couple of days ago we had with us a Muslim lady that converted to Christianity. She is actually a very highly educated person. She got a doctorate degree, and she's a doctor, physician. And she spoke to us about what touched her about Christianity is the one-to-one relationship, because nothing like that in Islam. In Islam it's a group, it is community, it is the power of a group, not the individual. This story just shows that how every person is dear to Christ. That lady is one person and living very far from him. The distance that he had to walk to see that lady is something like from Sydney to Wollongong, about this distance, which is from Jerusalem to Sukkah, the place that she was living in Samaria, something like 90 kilometers. He had to walk these 90 kilometers, and it is mountains. It's not an easy walk. Normally people, when they walk this distance, they cross to the east of the Jordan River, and they walk in a better land next to the Jordan River, which is more or less flat. So they bypass these mountains for 2 reasons. One reason, that they don't like to pass through Samaria. It's an area that they felt that it is not good, it's not blessed. If you know the geography of Palestine at that time, the south part is Judea, the center is Jerusalem, then the northern part is Galilee, where the lake and where Nazareth, when Jesus was born, and in between there's an area that is not Jewish, it is belonging to the Samaritan people. Samaritan people are people that lost their identity by mixing with nations. It was not their mistake, it was imposed on them. The Assyrian occupied them and they forced them to marry different nationalities on purpose, because they were arrogant about their background. Our blood is sons of Abraham and things like that. They forced them to intermarry, the marriage, mixed marriages with different nationalities from the Assyrian, and in this way the Jewish people despised them, despite that it was not their mistake. And there was enmity between the Jewish and Samaritan, despite that they are, all of them are sons of Jacob, but they had this difficulty between each other. Now the Lord, St. John say, he had to go through that, because he had a mission. He needed to see that lady. All this travel, something like 90 kilometers walking in mountains without food. He was hungry. The disciples were hungry. He was thirsty. He didn't drink. All that because of his love to a suffering lady. She was suffering. She had 5 men that married her and left her. We don't know why. Very likely because she could not produce children. Very likely, because had she had some children, they would help her bring the water. Why should she, definitely not very young, to go by herself in the middle of the day to drink, to draw water from the well? There must be that she had no children. Very likely, unlikely that she has children. And this may be the reason that men leave her. At that time, divorce is not the choice of the woman. The woman that is divorced is in a mess. There is no income, there is no protection, and so on. So really, she was miserable. And the Lord felt about her long. This is a message for all of us. Any broken-hearted person guarantee that he has a spot in the heart of Christ. Christ has a special feeling towards those people who are suffering. He has a special sympathy towards people that need him. And that is the beauty of Christianity. I repeat this, that lady, that the Muslim lady was telling us, that was her attraction. She felt that there is nothing like that in other religion. And she says that when you speak to other religion, don't try to convince them they are wrong. Just say to them what they are missing. They are missing something very valuable, that they love to have it. And actually it clicked with me, because there's other lady that was also Muslim, converted to Christianity. She was telling me the same. The feeling about Christ, the feeling that he can care about me one-to-one. It's not a group, large. I'm counted as a number in large number of people, and that's why they like more people to convert to Islam, for example, that their number increases. It's not like that. Christianity is an individual, a relationship with Christ directly, one-to-one. And that's out of the mercy and out of love. The heart of Christ is feeling about those people. The conversation is very, very sweet. The Lord arrived at the well before her. And that well was the well that Jacob had. And he drank from that water, him and his children. They cleaned that in 1935. And they built a church around it. And in 1935, it was, as the dimension was something like less than 7 meter diameter, but the depth was very, very low, especially in summer, that the water is not up. You have to have long rope to get the water from down. And the Lord arrived at this place waiting for her, and the disciples went to buy food, which is a bit strange because the Jewish people do not eat the food of the Samaritan people. But it seems that the nature of Christ speaking nicely about the Samaritan people encouraged the student to go and buy. A typical Jewish will never buy food from Samaria. Actually, they despise them. And but the Lord spoke very well about the Samaritan people a number of times. You remember when he made a parable about a very soft-hearted person that helped others? He was Samaritan. Why did the Lord say a Samaritan? It's a story, it's an example that the Lord, a parable that the Lord invented. Why did he say a Samaritan? To make people love them. When 10 lepers were healed, one of them only was Samaritan and the 9 were Jewish. No one returned to thank the Lord for healing them except the Samaritan, and the Lord didn't let go. He said, where are the 9? It's only the Samaritan that came to. So the Lord, once they accused Christ that he is crazy and he is with the devil and he is a Samaritan, then he defended that he is not with the devil. But he didn't defend himself that he is not Samaritan, because he didn't like to consider Samaritan to be abused. So he didn't say that I'm not Samaritan, but he said that, of course, I'm not doing these miracles by the devil's hand, by the finger of God. So the Lord made it very clear, preparing his disciples, preparing everyone to love them. And the disciples went to buy food, and he sat by himself, weary, tired from the distance. I was reading yesterday explanation of the word weary, And they say that the expression that was used in Greek, at least, was weary, as if he was beaten up or something. It's the same verb of being beaten up, as if he was suffering. Actually, there is tremendous similarity between his status at that time and his status at the cross. Some people enjoy making that comparison. It was the midday, he was thirsty, he was tired, and so on. So it's the same style of the cross, eager for the salvation of one lady, suffering and miserable, very miserable. There is no one that goes in the middle of the day to draw water. It's very hot in this area. Usually they go very early in the morning, but she doesn't like to be exposed to the eyes of other women despising her because of her lifestyle. No one likes her. No one likes to live with her. She was suffering, and the Lord approached her. She didn't believe that a Jew speaks to her, respectable Jew speaks to her. First, because he's a man. The Jewish men, particularly the Pharisees, do not speak to women in the state, even if that woman is his wife or his daughter. They don't speak to women in the state. There's a group of Pharisees. It's actually funny that they called themselves the bleeding and or bruised Pharisee. You know why they are bleeding? Because when they walk on the street and they see a woman, they close their eye and they hit themselves in any pole or anything because they don't like to see women. And it's a group of people at that time that they, to that extent, the Pharisees do not speak to women on the street. Now Christ is a man speaking to a woman, and he's a Jew speaking to a Samaritan. The woman didn't believe. And he started in a very soft way, give me, I need. That's the way many times the Lord approaches us, as if he is in need. Come and serve me. The Lord doesn't need our service. It's exactly as if he's telling us, I am thirsty, help me. And that's the break, the ice break, when you approach any person and say, I'm not coming to you as if I am better than you or higher than you, I need. So let us be on the same level. I need something from you, you need something from me. I need water from you, but I can give you other type of water. The whole idea of selecting this passage and dealing with 50 days is that he is the living water. All the 50 days, every week, we have one attribute of Christ. And today, he is the living water. He is the living water. The word is very sweet to a dying person. If a person is dying, and he listens to the expression, living water, it's very attractive. We are dying. We are dying. Any one of us would live how long? Yeah? You live 50 years? If you are young, 70 years? 90 years? We are dying. And he is the living water. So the word is sweet to our ears. We are dying and he is the living water. He is the one that can live, give us life. He is the one that because of him, we can survive. We can have another life. That death will not conquer us, because he is the one that if we drink from what he gives, then we live forever. And that's why the lady told him, give me that. I need it. She didn't understand living water that much, but she understood it's much deeper than the water. She told him, are you higher than Jacob, our fathers? She saw that he's a prophet. By the way, the Samaritan people do not believe in prophets. They only believe in Moses. And they don't believe in the Old Testament. They only believe in the first five books. So the fact that she said about him a prophet is very likely she start understanding that he must be the Messiah. Because she believes in Moses that he told that there's another prophet that will come, which is the Messiah. She was prepared to love him and to receive from him this living. And she received that. The Lord was very gentle to her. Very gentle. He didn't use any abusive way. He encouraged her. She said that you answered in the truth. And that's exactly the same way the Lord approaches every one of us. Today is a message of loving Christ, that he is caring about us. If you are suffering, the message is for you. if you are scared of something, if you are in need of something, if you are despised, if you are ignored, if you are not, if any danger situation, if you are dying, all these, the message is for us. Because all of us have an element of that. All of us have that difficulty sometimes, and Christ is showing us that he can walk hours and hours. Maybe costed him a couple of days walking, thirsty, hungry, just for one person to revive her. The woman became after that saint. You know, in the Antiochian church and in the Greek church, they have a name for her, Saint Fotini. They say that that's the name that was given to her after baptism, which translates the one that has an open eye or something like that. She was enlightened, the enlightened one. And they celebrate for her a day, which is sometime in March. And they have a lot of, she was martyred in their tradition. She was martyred after she preached Christ to many people. And we know that from even St. John's Gospel that she preached, and people told her that they knew Christ, and she just brought them to him. And that's the best way to do with people. Bring people to Christ and Christ will continue. And those people were very thirsty to want to respect them, and Christ came to defend them. That's his way. Understand that very, very well. That enjoy the status of being in need. Enjoy the status of being brokenhearted, because that's the time that the Lord will come to save us. The message is a very sweet message for us. Let us really, out of the depths of our hearts, thank him for doing that to us, to every one of us. He gave us the model. He can care about you. You may be one among 6 billion people in the world or more, but he cares about you, especially if you are suffering. Expect him. He can come. But in a modest way. She was very modest, and she accepted that. Her heart accepted that immediately. We don't know how she changed her life after that. We don't know how she lived her life. We know that she used to preach. And as I say, if we believe in the tradition of the Antiochian church, that she was martyred for the sake of Christ that she loved, that he saved her. Her life changed. And the last verses in the gospel, I wouldn't like to ignore them, because in that gospel, when you speak about the field and it becomes ready for harvest, this is the source of joy. When we see people coming to Christ after being sinful or after being away from him, this is the real joy for us. Then the one that sow will be happy, the one that reaps will be happy, because all of us are going as a nice procession to the kingdom of heaven to live forever with our beloved Lord that showed his love to us. May the Lord give us this soft heartedness to understand that and to feel the sweetness of it. When I was young, I went to a church in a revival day in Upper Egypt, and I found them singing a special song for the Samaritan woman. I don't know, we have never used this song in Sydney. It's a very long song, but very sweet things. I was trying to find it. Yesterday I checked on the YouTube, hoping. And I found another song in Arabic, extremely sweet. So some people can understand this story, some people cannot. Some hard-hearted people do not understand that. The one that wrote that song that is on the YouTube under the title The Samaritan Woman, but in Arabic, I think he has this feeling that he himself may be suffering, and he is waiting for the water that revives us, the water that gets us out of our difficulty, the water that can make us live again after being in death with sins or weakness or diseases or troubles. The Lord revives us because he loves everyone individually. Glory be to his name forever. Amen.